You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. This has been a relentless week for mass shootings in America.
This kind of shooting is horrific. It's a tragedy that we hear about far too often, but today it's hit home here in San Mateo County.
It was just hours ago that I was covering that mass shooting down in Monterey Park, and now we are once again talking about victims of another shooting, this time here in Northern California.
Over the weekend, an attack on a dance studio during Lunar New Year celebrations claimed 11 lives in the predominantly Asian American suburb of Monterey Park, California. Yesterday, in Half Moon Bay, California, a shooter killed 7 people at 2 separate locations, a plant nursery and a farming business. Some Asian Americans say the grief and fear they're feeling is particularly acute because it comes after years of surging anti-Asian hate crimes and 2 other mass shootings targeting Asian victims in Atlanta and Southern California. I want to talk about that and tools to cope with Carrie Zhang, the founder of the Asian Mental Health Project, an organization that aims to educate and empower Asian communities in seeking mental health care. Hi, Carrie. Thank you very much for being here.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this space to talk about this event.
How are you processing this moment?
Yeah, that's a really good question because it's such an ongoing process to process this event. Me, myself, one of the things that I'm trying to do is, you know, listen to my body and my needs, being able to take care of, you know, any of the physical symptoms that arise with this heavy stress. But one of the ways that I cope is through mobilizing and through community care. So I've been able to host and attend group, you know, listening and healing sessions. And I also, full transparency, I do have therapy today. So my therapist will hear an earful, and that I'm looking forward to that to help me cope with everything going on.
Hmm. What should folks be keeping an eye on regarding their own mental health as they watch the news? There's these relentless updates about what's happening in the investigations of these incidents. What should people be paying attention to with their own mental health?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I mean, I think that's the difficulty of, you know, living in today's world where not only is the news cycle relentless, it's also right in front of us all the time. So I personally am constantly feeling, you know, triggered and re-triggered from this collective trauma is what we call it. You know, even if you're not directly impacted by these events, meaning you're not a direct survivor or a victim or, you know, directly affiliated with folks, there's still a collective cognitive dissonance and difficulty in processing these large traumatic events that happened to us as a community. For the last couple of years, it's been, you know, horrible news upon horrible news, whether it is, you know, anti-Asian hate crimes or, you know, mass violence and mass shootings, which is really difficult for us to process. And so what I hope folks pay attention to in terms of their own mental health is, one, you know, it is human and natural to have any sort of feelings around, you know, these things that occur, whether it directly or indirectly affects you. It is a collective trauma that we're all sort of noticing and feeling together. And two, my hope for folks is that, you know, there is that cognitive dissonance of like, let me go on with my life, but the news cycle is relentless. It's happening all the time. So instead of this being like a post-traumatic event, we're constantly going through traumatic events. And so our bodies will naturally respond to that, as, you know, bodies do with trauma, and our minds as well. So my hope for everybody is to recognize that if you are feeling any sort of mental health issues and you can't quite pinpoint why, but you think it has something to do with everything going on, it probably does. And that is completely human. And I'm hoping folks allow themselves the permission to, you know, take a step back and step into themselves and understand that it is okay to want healing and mental health support and need help at this time, because, you know, these are scary, scary times that we're living through right now, and it's going to have an impact on our mental health. And it is important for us to be able to let ourselves address that and take care of those around us as well.
You grew up near Monterey Park, and I wonder if you could just reflect on what the community means, especially because it is the first majority Asian American suburb in the United States. What does the Monterey Park community mean, especially during a time of celebration like Lunar New Year?
I grew up in Arcadia, which is just a little ways away from Monterey Park. They're all a part of this enclave. You know, it's called the San Gabriel Valley. And that is where a lot of Asian Americans or Asian folks came to settle after immigrating. My parents settled in Arcadia after immigrating as well. And places like Monterey Park, specifically Garvey Avenue, you know, these are the streets that really raised us. They were streets that where you walk down the street and it's just, you know, everything's written in Mandarin and our parents could read things and understand how to navigate this country because, you know, these are special enclaves that allowed us to feel a sense of belonging and safety and home in a country that so often rejects us. So Monterey Park means so much to me. I have friends, you know, who live in that area still, and I live very close to that area even now. And it's just super difficult to process that this horrible thing is happening, you know, right in front of our eyes to our elders and people that, you know, we love and people that look like us. It's very difficult to think about, but most of all, it feels like our place of safety that we created, that immigrants came, you know, the safety and security of it has been shattered, and it's really difficult to process that.
Lunar New Year is a time for family and friends to reconnect and be together, but people may be feeling conflicted about gathering in large groups at this moment. There might be fear because of the recent attacks. How can people balance the desire to gather, the fears that they might be feeling? How can they process all of that?
Yeah, I think that's important because it is an important part of our healing and our culture and our communities to be able to gather. But as mentioned, our sense of safety has been shattered, especially in these large group settings. And I know safety is a really big concern for us. You know, I'm personally going to attend, you know, a candlelight vigil, and it has been on the top of my mind of like, oh, shoot, what if something happens? But I think what's important to folks is understanding that there is no obligation to gather in person with everything going on. And you can still mourn, grieve, and be with community outside of being in person. But if you are to be in person, I think it's important to have general situational awareness. You know, where are the exits? These are all things I really learned growing up with a hypervigilant father. But we always grew up with him telling us, you know, in large crowds, like, make sure you locate exits, make sure you don't go where everybody is squeezing in, you know, have that situational awareness to be able to flee. And what's interesting about that is advice taken because of all of the, you know, trauma and experiences of violence and danger that he grew up with. That, of course, you know, again, that sort of generational trauma also permeates and is sort of passed down to younger generations or generations to come. And it's important to break that cycle. But all that is to say is that it is important to have the situational awareness and sense of vigilance in being in these gatherings. But it is also important if one finds it important to go to these gatherings to feel in community, I definitely welcome it. But that's not the only way to feel, you know, in community and in connection with folks in our community as well.
Why is the Asian Mental Health Project important, especially for the Asian American community? What are barriers that people may confront in connecting with mental health resources?
There are several barriers that we've identified as Asian Mental Health Project. We were created because of, you know, my own lived experience of experiencing stigma against mental health growing up. You know, we don't have the vocabulary, you know, to address mental health in sort of the more Western sense as children of immigrants. You know, oftentimes it's very difficult to even talk about our feelings in our household because, you know, there's sort of the desire to uphold a standard and not bring shame to the family. Like if you were feeling any sort of distress, we were taught to repress and suppress those feelings so as to become a more functional member of society or to contribute to this collectivism that we have and to save face, which, you know, leads us to repress our emotions, which makes it very difficult to, you know, tend to our mental health. And on top of that, you know, there's the further stigma of being Asian and the discrimination that is faced here in a place where we don't feel like we belong. You know, all those layers on top are barriers to mental health care, plus, you know, health care in itself being a very difficult thing to obtain in the US, and especially mental health care. There's also financial barriers of, you know, mental health care, professional mental health care being difficult to obtain because it can be so expensive. But there's also the idea that, you know, maybe it's not as valued as other sorts of health care. So a lot of that stems from cultural stigma, which is what Asian Mental Health Project hopes to combat by creating, you know, accessible, digestible resources that make it easier for folks to, you know, say, hey, I'm actually experiencing something that I would name as anxiety. How can I address it with my own family, and how can I get help for it? And we hope to provide resources that make it easier to obtain these resources for themselves, but also to talk about mental health care amongst our own families, friends, and communities and loved ones.
If there are folks who want to reach out for help, especially in the wake of these attacks in Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay, what can you recommend?
Yeah, I think a few things that I recommend are to look to these community gatherings, either in person or virtual. I think virtual tools that have emerged in these last couple of years due to the global pandemic have been a really great and useful tool for folks to feel connected with others, even if they don't want to physically be around people. We at Asian Mental Health Project host weekly wellness sessions on Wednesdays, as well as a few biweekly affinity groups. But, you know, this week, in response to these tragedies, we've opened up daily community grief and community healing circles for folks to come and be with community virtually on Zoom and be able to unpack. But other things that I would recommend are looking at local resources. I was just sent resources from the LA Department of Mental Health that serves LA County, and they have warm lines for people to talk to 24/7. There's also, you know, other warm lines and hotlines that people can reach out to if, you know, they feel that would serve them. But I definitely recommend going local, because those would provide, you know, the nearest resources and perhaps the most available resources. Sometimes the larger hotlines and you know, global or international hotlines can be inundated with a lot of calling, and, you know, it can be difficult to find immediate care. So I would definitely look at local resources, local mental health centers. You know, for the LA area specifically, there's Chinatown Service Center that provides mental health first aid and mental health care that's free for folks. Again, the LA Department of Mental Health, NAMI, in different localized regions, as well as, you know, specific affinity groups such as ourselves, Asian Mental Health Project. And we do know also other groups have been rising up and, you know, stepping up to the occasion and also creating, you know, collective grief spaces for people to process these events. So help and support is out there, long story short, but it is a matter of knowing where to look and a matter of understanding and giving yourself permission to heal and permission to process these events, especially in a world that tells you to push it down and to keep going on with your life. We can't do that unless, you know, we can't do that in a healthy way. We have to address how we feel.
Carrie Zhang is the founder of the Asian Mental Health Project. Carrie, thank you very much for talking with me.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And Carrie mentioned some resources in her area of Southern California. In the King and Pierce County areas, options include Asian Counseling and Referral Service online at acrs.org, MultiCare Asian Counseling Services online at multicare.org, International Community Health Services, their website is ichs.com, and the National Alliance of Mental Illness Seattle, NAMI Seattle.org. We'll share all of these resources on our website at KUOW.org. You're listening to Soundside. Don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.